Blog Talk Radio.
It's the Morning Show.
Okay, you want to rehearse it one time before we go in there?
With award-winning journalist Cheryl Smith.
I'm good, but I'm not that good.
Bringing you informative, enlightening, thought-provoking, inspiring, and entertaining talk radio.
Hello. Just showing you, as I always do, some of the issues of the iMessenger Media publication. Let me just quickly tell you about my mask, so I'll go ahead and remove it, and I'll tell you why I always have it on. But first, let me say hello again, and you are watching I Was Just Thinking. And I am your host, Norma Adams-Wade. And the reason why I wear this mask at the beginning of the show is that I just am determined to continue to pay respect to the protocol, the health protocol that's still in existence. And I wear it, I'm in a building with other people, but I'm in a room to myself. So I take it off until I am finished. But let me just quickly tell you who our guest is today and say hello to him. Our guest today is Kevin Brown. Hello, Kevin Brown.
Well, good morning. How are you?
I'm great. And listen, I tell everybody that I am not a tech person, so I'm always holding my breath until I can actually speak with our guest and make sure the technology is going well. So let me quickly tell everybody who you are. Our guest is Kevin Brown. He is a local real estate developer and managing partner of Simply Custom. Now, it is a unique Black-owned company, and guess what it does? It hires its customers, its clients, to oversee their own home building projects. Who ever heard of that? And thus, as a result, they can generate immediate equity. Now, I just wish I was a true business person so I could understand all of the ins and outs of that, but our guest, Kevin Brown, is going to explain it all to us. So let's just get right into this. Tell us what Simply Custom is and what motivated you to start this business.
Well, fantastic. First, Sister Wade, let me salute you.
Well, thank you.
Listen, you are a trailblazer. It's an honor to be in the room with you today.
Thank you.
Thank you for your service. Thank you for being obedient to what God called you to do.
Absolutely.
We appreciate you.
Thank you.
Kevin Brown, born and raised here in Dallas, Texas.
Okay.
I'm a partner, like you said, with Simply Custom.
Uh-huh.
And we are your personal real estate developer and construction management firm with a mission to change the way our communities are built, but more importantly, who profits from it.
Oh.
We do this by adding value, creating opportunity, and sharing the wealth with our community using both residential and commercial real estate as the vehicle.
Okay.
Which brings into focus our great vision, Sister Wade.
Okay.
And that's about us collectively building our communities again. And when I say that, I mean it literally. I'm talking about us building our own homes.
Okay.
Homeowners participating in that process. Us building our own subdivision. Us building our parks, our schools, our churches, our business districts, where we workshop, dine, and are entertained.
Wow.
Hence, building collective wealth, intergenerational wealth building, but more importantly, building an economy where we can become the number one employer of our own people. Then and only then will we eradicate the social and economic injustice that we face and level the political playing field.
Let me jump in on that. We hear, oh gosh, I don't know how far as I've been alive, I guess, and you yourself, that we don't own anything. We don't own anything. Why is it we are just, somebody else is always running our community? It sounds to me like you have pretty much burned the midnight oil to come up with what I would call a very believable way to stop asking all those questions and take some action. Am I right?
Yes, yes, yes. And it's a beautiful thing. You know, nobody's taking the time. We know the problem, right?
We know the problem.
Everybody understands that.
Yeah.
But there hasn't been many solutions that have been brought to the table that it's the responsibility of us to get involved in and do these things. We're always looking for an outside source like the city, the government, politicians, and we've just created a way that the everyday person in the community can be a part of our own solution.
Let me throw this in. As you were speaking just then, it brought back a quote from Nelson Mandela that sticks with me. And he was talking about people of South Africa and actually the whole continent. But he said, the problem is not that we don't have power. He said, the problem is we have power far beyond what we realize and use. It sounds like to me you're putting that into action.
Yes, a plan of action.
Yeah.
And the right plan of action and the right tools and right resources, we can win.
Yeah,
We can restore our great legacy.
Okay, now just in case our audience, I want them to really get this concept. I want you to say it again. Your unique plan of operation, just say it again and about how the clients have a role in this. Just say all of that again. I want to make sure they get it.
Okay. No, so this is a six-point plan to us collectively building our communities again. And that first step is a series of strategic partnerships.
Okay.
So the first step is partnering with the homeowner to be able to be involved in the economics of the largest purchase they will make.
Absolutely.
And that's the home.
Yeah.
The home accounts for 2/3 of the average household's wealth.
Wow. Wow.
And that's why we have this enormous wealth gap. And so if we can impact the family by partnering with them to build their home.
Right.
So we hire them, right?
Yeah.
Now they're getting paid. We pay them $2,000 a month for 6 months during this process to act as their own superintendent of their job.
Oh, my God.
At the same time, we're training and teaching them.
That just, I mean, you know, I just have to let that sink in because it just sounds so strategic and well thought out. And you just wonder, I want to ask you, why hasn't someone come up with that concept before? Why?
Unfortunately, I believe that it's greed. It's the... I believe that we think that there is a, and let me back up.
Go ahead.
I don't want to say it's all greed.
Okay.
But what I'd like to say is that we have a belief, we've been socially conditioned that we live in a state of lack, and there is no lack in the kingdom of God.
Okay.
So there's enough to share.
Mm.
Proverbs says, wealth gained hastily will dwindle, but whosoever gathers it little by little will increase it. That means there's enough to share. There's enough to go around.
Okay.
We can all be extremely successful
okay.
with sharing.
Okay.
And I think because we've been socially conditioned
yeah.
that there's a lack of, we hoard. We tend to hoard.
Oh.
Not intentionally.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that that's what's happened.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to, you know, I focused on the problem of the wealth gap for 400 years that it existed since we've been here.
Right, right.
And it's been growing increasingly.
Mm.
And so we wanted to address that issue using real estate as a vehicle. So not only do they get paid.
Okay.
Sister Wade.
Okay.
We have a reduced fee that's about 6 to 10% below the national and regional average for home builders, which creates a scenario of profit sharing where they get equity day one.
Oh, wow.
That they move into that house. Day one, anywhere between $50,000, $100,000, $200,000 we've parted from with equity to our clients. And so it's amazing.
Oh, my gosh. Listen, Donald Trump will not like you. Donald Trump will not like you. He will not like that idea of you reducing your share to make sure that the client gets a share. Oh, my God. If I said it correctly.
Yeah,
wow.
No.
Wow.
And by doing that, we're literally, who was it? It was Wall Street Journal put out an article that read that it would take 226 years to amass the wealth of white families, for blacks to amass the wealth of white families.
Wow.
That's how big that wealth gap is.
Oh.
And we literally created something where we've seen clients cut it in half, and we've seen some clients cut it all the way, reach that goal. The average household wealth for our white brothers and sisters is $176,000.
Okay.
And our average wealth is about $17,000.
Wow.
It's 10 times different.
Mm.
And so we had a 26-year-old couple that built their first home with us.
Okay.
And day one, they walked in the door with $75,000 worth of equity on top of getting paid while they were building their home.
Oh, wait. Now, Lloyd, let's just let that sink in. Say that again. You had a 26-year-old couple. You got to say it again so people will get it. Say that again. This 26-year-old couple.
There's a 26-year-old couple. Never bought a home.
First time homeowner.
Custom home. Lovely couple, too.
Okay.
But they not only learned the process, walked in the door with $75,000 worth of equity day one. Because the equity was there, because the house was valued below what they paid for, no down payment.
Okay.
Not needed.
Okay.
So now there's no down payment.
Wow.
They're getting paid.
Oh.
So they're, you know, we're not getting hired by your big builders.
Right.
And so this is a program of inclusion.
Yeah,
inclusion.
Yeah.
For our folks.
Right.
So
right.
It's just blessing and an honor to be able to serve.
Okay, now let me say this. You know, let me say this. All right. Okay, let's just take that couple for example. Now, I don't know them, but let's just say that a couple, first-time homeowner, they don't know anything about construction. In my thought, you know, I understand that you do some kind of a training or assistance to show them how to help participate in this building process. Break that down for me.
Okay. So, yes, we do. We have an online platform that we use to manage the project.
Okay.
So each homeowner is invited to an online platform where in that platform, they will have a list of tasks in its appropriate sequence, the things that need to get done to build this house.
Okay.
They will also have a list of all of our subcontractors and suppliers.
Okay.
And vendors that they'll call to schedule these tasks.
Okay.
Now, a project manager meets with that client once a week.
Okay.
Let's chop this task, these tasks down.
Okay.
And then send them on their way that could do those tasks.
Uh-huh.
And then they call us up and schedule that activity.
Okay.
They go out to the site to make sure that that activity is done.
Okay.
They take photos and they upload those photos on our platform so that my entire team can see the progression of that project in real time. And we have a superintendent that's also a lead superintendent that's assigned to them that can ensure the problems that come up in construction, the structural integrity, and all those things are there.
Okay.
So basically, they're making all the phone calls, doing all the scheduling, and checking the job site daily that they were going to do anyway, even if they weren't involved.
Okay.
Because they're home.
Okay. Okay.
And so we walk them through that process from start to finish. So, and so they don't have to know. They learn as they go.
They learn as they go, yeah.
Through the whole program.
Now, about how long does it take from day one to the minute that they walk in and pull the covers back on the bed and go to sleep? About how long is that process from start to finish, roughly?
It's about a 12-month process.
Okay.
We have clients that have done it in 9 But it's about a 12-month process from start to finish to custom home.
Okay, very good, very good. Now, explain to me you putting together your team from when you got this concept and you decided that, yeah, I'm going with this, I'm going to do this. How did you, you know, build a team and who did you glean from? I understand there are some family members involved. How did you go about that?
Yes, so let me say this.
Okay.
One, I grew up in a household with the first, like you, black architect by trade, project manager for the city of Dallas.
Wow.
Jeanette Brown Snead.
Okay.
A developer for the city. She's amazing. And
okay.
So, growing up in this household on a drafting table, watching my mother design things.
Yeah.
And going out in the field and out and seeing her look at raw land and taking that from that drafting table to fruition.
Right.
Gave me a passion to do this.
Ah.
And so I decided a long time ago, about in the 7th grade, they were offering at Val Story Middle School, they were offering drafting classes.
Okay.
And then at South Cliff, they were offering architectural classes. And so I just fell in love with it. And so that's how this gift of building.
Right.
Was a carpenter, but that's how that came about for me.
Oh,
and
I love it.
It's a family business.
Okay.
So when my mother retired, she joined us. She was with the city for over 26 years.
Okay.
And then of course, you know, my sister came on as our COO. She decided to bless us. She had been in the banking industry for a long time.
Okay.
And she decided that she's, and as an executive, by the way.
Okay.
And she was making really good money.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And decided to come along and spend some time in the business and help us grow. And then my son and my daughters and, you know, my wife, we've all been active. So my brother-in-law is involved now, both of my brother-in-law. It's just a family affair.
I love it. I just love it. I love it. Okay, so and your team is about roughly how many of y'all now?
It is it's a total of 13 of us.
Okay, very good. Now,
project manager, superintendent, draftsman, sales, accounting, it's a team of 13 of us now.
Oh, my gosh. Now, let's get to some of your proud achievements. Now, and tell us where some of the homes are. We might want to drive by and take a look. Tell us some of your proud achievements and give our audience an idea of where they can go and drive by and see some of them.
All right. Well, I'm gonna share with you some images.
Okay.
Of some of the stuff that we've done. I'm gonna pull up something real quick.
Okay.
And I think I could get y'all to see some of this work.
Love it, love it.
So this is the first subdivision.
Okay.
In Louisville, we built over 23 homes in that development.
What? Oh my gosh.
Yes.
In Louisville.
Let me do it like this. Get a better image.
Okay.
But we're also an approved builder and developer with the City of Dallas Land Bank.
Okay.
Okay.
All there right. Yeah.
These are some of the affordable homes that we built through their in the program.
Okay.
With the city.
Wow.
We've also done. Let's see here. Let me go through. And
these are what do you call?
In South Dallas.
Okay.
We've done. We worked on projects through facade improvements with the city.
Okay.
This is a project in Oak Cliff behind Creekside at Carter Square behind Carter High School.
Okay.
Mahia, Texas.
Uh-huh.
This is on Pennsylvania and Dallas.
Okay.
This is on Peabody.
Wow.
This is in Oakley, Texas.
Uh-huh.
You name it, we've done it.
I think I've seen that one on Peabody. I've seen that one on Peabody. When you stole that image, I said, yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah, and this one's on Park Road.
Okay.
And this is in Cedar Hill.
Ah.
In Shenandoah.
Wow.
And you probably seen this on Alice from Way.
Yes.
We have 3 4-story homes, 3-story townhome style houses that we've done on Al Lipscomb.
Okay, now let me ask you about that one. The one that you just showed on Al Lipscomb. Now I have seen that one, and as I was driving by, I thought this must be somebody from California or something because it looks.
No.
That's what I'm saying. It looks so. Well, I just have to say it looks different from the standard home that I'm used to seeing. What's the concept behind this? That one.
So it's a more modern home.
Okay.
And the family that went through the program with us on this particular project, one of them, she's a teacher or counselor at Billy Earl Day.
Okay.
Middle school. So they just work right
she,
about.
She could walk to school. I mean, walk to work.
Yeah,
okay.
That environment.
Right.
Who, did this, but. You're seeing a lot of these city homes being built this way because the lots are very narrow.
Okay, makes sense.
And so in order to be able to get the amount of space that you want, you go vertical.
Yeah.
The other thing is to take advantage of the views of downtown.
Now, see,
and
I hadn't
so
thought of that.
Really has some amazing views.
I hadn't thought of that. Oh, wow. That's just, I love it. Good use of space. Sensible use of space. Your life doesn't have to be giant, but how you use it, like you said, go vertical. I love it. But back to my question about what you take pride in. Are there some particular sites or developments that you just broke your buttons with pride that you did? And what's kind of at the top of your list, if anything?
So there's a few commercial projects. Well, one, let me say this.
Uh-huh.
Every home that we participate in, that's my biggest joy.
Okay.
Because there's wealth being given. We've given millions of dollars of wealth to families.
Okay.
And so in regards to that, that is my greatest joy because that's our mission.
Okay.
To address this wealth gap.
Okay.
But a couple of projects come to mind. There's a project at 1808 South Good Latimer.
Okay.
Called Good Work. And there's a company that occupies the space, a co-working space called Good Work.
Okay.
But that project I take a lot of pride in. We were the PM on that particular project, and which stands for project manager.
Uh-huh.
And we managed that project from A to Z, from start to finish. But it was an old 60,000 square foot building.
Yeah.
co-working space, executive suite, lofts, 11 living spaces, and some retail.
Okay.
That was a really great project. It was a very old building. We have over 500 solar panels on the roof, and so it's green.
Mm.
It's got LEED gold, and it's got a lot of recognition.
Okay.
Even in the D magazine, it got some recognition.
Okay. Okay.
That's a unique project, and so we were thrilled that we were able to play a role as a project manager for that particular project. And then the other is there's a group out of Chicago called Oak Street Health. And we were really thrilled. We were hired in the capacity of owner's representative.
Uh-huh.
A very important role because the owners were out of Chicago, so they needed representation here. And so we oversaw the GCs, the engineers, the architects, the whole entire team for the owners, and helped them to build four clinics, two in Dallas, two in Fort Worth. What made that a special deal is their mission. They are a state-of-the-art, first-class Medicaid, Medicare clinic.
Okay.
Humana was involved, which was really neat. But what was neat, they were putting these clinics in Black and Latino communities.
Okay.
And, you know, bringing some very unique healthcare solutions to our neighborhood.
Oh.
So we're really excited to help them open those four clinics.
Right. I love it. Now, I wanted to, but I was trying to back up. A thought occurred to me. Yeah, you said something at the beginning of when we started about something to the effect of keeping the economy in our community or recirculating our own money in our own community. Was that a big driving force for you?
That is the driving force.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, one of the things we tell people, we want to show you how to play real life Monopoly.
Okay.
You remember the game?
Yes.
Yeah. So I'll give you.
I never pocketed money though. I always lost.
That's okay. So Monopoly.
Yeah.
Board, you got the board. Mm-hmm. And you have Broadway, Barclays,
all the different streets. Right.
Well, those names represented property.
Uh-huh.
And so you'd buy the property and then you put greenhouses on it, right?
Yeah.
And then if somebody stopped by, they had to pay your rent for those houses.
Right.
And then you'd accumulate four houses and you could trade those in and get a red hotel.
Yes.
And the red hotel was a representation of commercial real estate.
Okay.
And so one of the things that we have to learn how to do, we have to control both the residential sector our neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to graduate and also own and control the commercial real estate sector, not just operating a business, but owning the real estate.
Wow.
So when you go on MLK, we need to own MLK.
Okay.
And so when rent is being generated, that wealth can then recirculate.
Mm.
And so one of the ways that we do this through our unique program, which is step two.
Yeah.
If we have 10 clients of ours that finish a house in a calendar year, what we'll do, we'll galvanize those clients and we'll invest in some commercial real estate together.
Okay.
And all own it together.
Oh.
And so we'll use the revenue from the home building in order to catapult us into the commercial district. That way, when Subway, Metro PCS, Starbucks, and anybody's in our neighborhood, they're paying their rent to the community.
Oh.
And so there's some strategic ways that we can galvanize our resources and money to do that.
Wow. Oh, now let me remind everybody. Okay, everybody, we are talking with Kevin Brown. He's one of the owners and managing partner for a local real estate, a very unique local real estate development and management company, and it's called Simply Custom. And the concept pretty much is that they hire their clients to oversee their own home building project, and as a result, the clients, many first-time homeowners, generate immediate equity in their own home. Kevin Brown, the managing partner of Simply Custom, gave us an example of a young couple that just walked in day one when they entered their home. They had a large percentage of equity already. So this is Kevin Brown with Simply Custom, and we're going to continue to hear more about it. Now, here's what I want to ask. There's got to be some challenges and frustrations in this, because you know we're not an easy people to deal with. So what? So what are some of?
I have part of my team in the office with me right now, and Hawana Johnson, our COO, just did a hallelujah. She's like, "Yeah, you're right."
So tell us, go ahead and tell us some of the challenges and frustrations that you have to deal with this concept, because. And then we, of course, you know, we have a trust factor, and we have past history of, you know, blacks in business and all of that. So you've got some challenges on your plate. What are some of those frustrations and challenges, and how have you met them head on?
Wow, that is an excellent question, and I know you have definitely you have wisdom and have been around. Because you hit it on the nose. There's a lot of challenges.
Yeah.
And we do have to overcome the trust issue first.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
One of the things that, you know, I want to talk about, because trust issue is the biggest number one thing.
Okay.
How do I trust in someone to make an investment that's going to be the largest investment I make?
Right.
Of $200,000, $300,000, $400,000,
$500,000. Right.
With a black-owned business.
Right, right,
with
right.
With the stigma. Mm. The stigma of black-owned businesses,
Right.
And that's frustrating. However, what I've learned based on the Lord told me this.
Okay.
He gave me this example.
All right.
When you give first.
Okay.
See, the greatest gift that we've ever received was God giving us his only begotten son.
Okay.
So the first order of business is to give somebody something.
Ah.
And so what we're giving is something greater in value. We're giving them something greater in value than we're receiving back in payment.
Okay.
And that is the draw. That when they see that we're laying it all out for them.
Mm-hmm.
They say, how can somebody give us so much? How can we not give them a shot? How can we not trust them? Because they're giving first.
Right.
That's the biggest thing that we do.
Now,
the other problem is once you get them in.
Okay.
The home building process is very frustrating.
Okay.
It's just challenging.
Okay.
And not frustrating to me and my team, but challenging for us and frustrating for them at times, because this is something new. They've never done it before.
Correct. And there's that fear factor, I guess you might want to call it, or something like that.
Right.
Uh-huh.
So there's times that, you know, you see them get discouraged,
or,
you know, having to overcome some of the obstacles of construction.
Right.
Whether it be delays in material. I mean, when...
Let me jump in right there. Speaking of delays in material, now we all have come through COVID. We're still coming through it. And we know about the shutdowns and then supply, backup of supplies and all of that. That must have kind of hit you hard. So what? I didn't hear you. What'd you say? All of that had to hit you hard. So how did you come through that?
Well, I tell you what, that act of giving is an act of love.
Okay.
And this is a ministry for us.
Oh.
And so, you know, what happens is that people, you know, people over time, they see where you're really coming from.
Right,
but
right.
In order to directly address how you get over those hurdles.
Right.
Of course, you can't do anything about the economy, the supply chain, but we are uniquely positioned over any other builder.
Okay.
Let me tell you how.
Okay.
So let's just say if you were dealing with ABC volume builder out there.
Uh-huh.
Okay. They have certain suppliers, they have certain merchants that they're buying their products from.
Uh-huh.
That doesn't change. You can't make that pivot with them to say, no, we don't want to use this appliance company that you have, or we don't want to use this window company that you have, or we don't want to use this brick company because we see you haven't gotten our brick yet. We want to make a change.
Right.
With our customer, they can pivot. They have the autonomy to make adjustments. So, okay, can't get appliances over there. Let's go over here to this appliance company.
Okay.
Can't get brick over here. Let's go from Acme to Bilco.
Okay.
Or let's go from here to there.
Okay.
And so we give them the ability to make that pivot.
That
not only gives them the ability to get things that are available versus not available.
Right, right.
But it also gives them the ability to reduce their cost.
Oh.
That's passed on to them.
Okay, okay.
And so that's how we've overcome some of those challenges.
Okay. Okay.
With the market being the way that it is.
Yeah.
And going through this COVID pandemic, and our business increased more during this time than any other time ever.
What? Oh my gosh. What do you think? I mean, how do you?
Tremendous growth. It's unbelievable.
My mouth is open. Think about that. That's got to be some divine intervention in that.
Yes, it is a blessing.
Oh, wow.
It is a blessing. You know, the cost of stuff is going up,
mm-hmm.
but because we're already discounting our clients so
right.
deeply,
right.
now it only makes sense. We might need to self-perform our job because the other builders are charging more.
Yeah. Okay,
yeah,
now
I'm
going to ask you a philosophical question. You've been Dallas born. Let me stress that Dallas born, and you mentioned some of our local schools that you attended. I think one was Sock and Sock. You've attended those schools, so you know our Dallas African American community. You're born and bred. I'm going to ask you a philosophical question. With you dealing with our people on a day-to-day basis, what are some of our community needs that you see, and what's your viewpoint on where we need to maybe start from day one to make us a better people, to make us a better community? Now, what you're doing is massive. What you're doing is a massive change factor. But just you're driving up and down the street, and I know your thoughts occur to you about that so-and-so needs to do so-and-so, and we need to clean that up. What are some of your thoughts about our community, Dallas Black community, and what we can do to make us a better people and make our lives a better experience?
Collaboration.
Oh, us? African Americans collaborate?
There needs to be more collaboration.
Oh my gosh.
There needs to be more round table discussions, if you will.
Yeah.
Addressing health care, addressing gentrification.
Okay.
Addressing the unemployment rate.
Okay.
Addressing education.
Uh-huh.
And addressing tooling our young people to have success, bringing them along.
Okay, now let me go.
Collaboration
go
is
ahead.
Important. We gotta have collaboration.
Okay, now all of those are so powerful. I kind of jotted some of them down. Collaboration, we haven't done that much, and at least not that I've noticed. Roundtable discussions, we need to learn to talk to each other. Health, oh my gosh, that's a big one. We have to start with what we eat and our physical, you know, exercise and what have you. Now, I'm going to put a pin in gentrification. So what's going on with that? What's going on with this whole gentrification thing? And where do we fit in? What you're doing is a powerful first step. But talk to me about gentrification and our community.
So, as you know it, gentrification is a term that describes what happens when we see developers coming into an underserved community. The reason why they do that is because of the price of the land.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Because it hadn't been tended to for a while,
uh-huh.
the value has been depreciated, and it's an opportunity to take that real estate
mm-hmm.
at a low value
yeah.
and reposition that real estate, turn that real estate over to something new.
Okay.
The problem is that when this happens, it doesn't take those who live there into consideration
oh.
in regards to building not just affordable housing, because I'm kind of I got my own thoughts about affordability.
Okay.
But mixed income communities
okay.
like South Dallas originally had.
Mm-hmm.
My mother grew up on Pear Street.
Okay.
And there was teachers, doctors, dentists, there's professionals.
Okay.
There was also blue collar workers,
uh-huh.
you know, auto mechanics and people, you know, so you know, nobody's designing these communities
okay.
with those folks that live there in mind.
Okay.
The other
okay.
thing is very important. Who cares if you bring in all these nice things if we can't participate in the economic wealth increase that happens when a neighborhood is being turned over?
So our
theory is that we have to be involved
mm-hmm.
in redeveloping our own neighborhood.
Oh, my gosh. We have to be in, let me just say, let me say it. Okay. We have to be involved in developing our own neighborhood. Wow. Wow.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because that, then we can create jobs.
Okay. Now, let me jump in right there. you make me think of that whole Black Wall Street concept, and we've heard in history that whole thing of Tulsa, Oklahoma back in the 1920s, and this, as it has been described to us, was a self-sufficient community in Tulsa, Oklahoma, 1920s, businesses, churches, homes, you name it, the whole thing, everything right there, owned by African Americans, and then it was destroyed by racist activity and racist people and a racist incident. And what I hear you saying is we can be Black Wall Street again. Am I right?
Most definitely. Listen, Sister Wade, there is a Black Wall Street 007 agent in each one of us. There is a pyramid builder in each one of us. It's in our DNA.
Whoa.
We've just forgotten who we are.
Whoa.
That's why the collaboration and the strategic partnership is so important.
Oh.
With business to community,
mm.
not business to city all
okay.
the way.
Okay.
Always. We have to engage our community to, you know, you've heard the term of crowdfunding.
Say it again.
Crowd
like CROWD?
Yes.
Okay. What is that? Yes. What is that?
Crowdfunding allows now for the everyday average person to be able to make an investment in REITs and real estate deals.
Yeah.
Where before you had to be a qualified investor
okay.
to have a certain minimum income of $250,000
okay.
to be a qualified investor
okay.
to be able to invest in these types of projects.
Okay.
Now, crowdfunding, there's platforms out there
yeah.
that will have big real estate deals, and they will say, hey, versus going to the bank, they'll put on their platform, we have a big shopping strip center we're going to do, and everybody can then come in and put in a certain amount of money to have ownership in that.
Okay,
right?
Okay.
And so, you know, I like to coin the phrase community fund.
Okay, community
fund. Because I know, people I'm my neighbors, people that I have, you know, I'm building relationships with. And so I think that we have to begin community funding things that we need in our community. So if there's a grocery store need,
yeah,
we don't go to the city and say, hey, guys, we need a grocery store here. We don't have, we're food desert. Well, we do. We have a roundtable discussion. And, you know, we put our resources together.
Oh, my gosh.
And we go out and we develop it. If you've got a partner that's a developer who's not trying to take all of the capital off the table, everybody can participate and enjoy the benefits of that development.
Okay.
And we were able to do that in a residential example.
Okay.
A house that we built on Kimball.
Mm-hmm.
And where 14 people came together and we raised the money cash to build a house, didn't have to go to the bank, didn't need their resources. And I'm going to show you this beautiful
okay.
image of all these beautiful people that came together.
And while you're looking for that, I'm going to repeat while you're showing me that. I'm going to repeat what I heard you say. I heard you say, we did not have to go to the bank. Pick up from that and when you, this group of people.
No, all black dollars.
And that show that picture again. That show the picture again. That was the group of people that came together. That group, that group came together with their own money. Am I right?
Yes.
Wow.
And we built a beautiful home together. And they all learned. And we celebrated that moment.
Uh huh.
And built a beautiful home there on Kimball Street.
On Kimball. Wow. Kimball is in South Dallas. Okay. Now let's see. We've got just a little over 10 minutes left. I want to make sure that I get to all the points. What are some of your future goals? Your future goals.
The future goals is expansion. So we got our first project in Houston.
Okay.
So we're about to expand to the Houston market.
Okay.
But long term, we want to go into all of the major metropolitan areas that have high percentage of African Americans in those communities.
Okay.
To bring this program, this
okay.
tool, this resource,
okay.
to all of us, all over the United States.
And okay.
So that's the goal.
Right.
Now. And take this state to state.
How can our community? Let's start with Dallas, and let's start with African American communities in Dallas. How can we help your goal?
So. We have a program. So let me say this. Every homeowner that participates in our project or every individual that participates in group economic projects that we do are all members of an organization that we created
uh-huh.
called GAP Community Builders.
GAP Community
GAP.
Community
GAP.
Builders.
GAP.
Okay.
Yes, Community Builders. Let me show you this.
Okay, quick. Go ahead. GAP Community Builders.
Right.
Okay.
So,
There it is. Community GAP Community Builders, GAP. What is that?
So
tell us about it.
So this is a group of like-minded individuals that share the same vision that we have
uh-huh.
of us collectively building our community.
Okay.
It's a one-time membership fee to access the ability to be able to partner with us on your personal home.
Right.
But also to partner us in an investment, on investment type projects
okay.
to build together with our community.
Okay.
So GAP Community Builders.
Okay.
We want, and what this is collaboration.
Uh-huh.
We have close to 300 members now.
What? Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Wonderful.
This is in Dallas, and this is from, we started engaging with the community in 2016.
Okay.
Right at the end of 2015.
Okay.
And we've grown this this group of like-minded people looking to address the issues that we're concerned with.
Wow.
And, you know, So, and that's why the community builders. Now, GAP stands for GAP, bridging all the gaps, closing all the gaps that exist in our community.
Oh, my gosh.
The economic gap, the wealth gap, the gentrification gap, the education gap, the political gap, all of those gaps that exist. And then also paying homage to Black Wall Street, Tulsa, Oklahoma. The three main streets in the business district was Greenwood, Archer, and Pine.
Okay.
And here's the term GAP banned. GAP banned. They dropped a bomb on me, baby, was talking about the defamation of the community.
Wow.
And that's why GAP banned those brothers. They grew up there in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And so they named their band GAP after the three streets in the business district.
Wow.
That exists today, but that has been transformed. They got a highway driving through Black Wall Street now, and we don't have those businesses like we did before.
Let me ask you this, and let's see how much time we've got. We've got about 10 minutes. Young people. Okay, now let me say this. When I was in school, and even my dad used to talk about it.
What you say, young people?
Okay, let's see. Okay, young, oh my gosh, Young Black Builders Club. Tell us about that. Tell us about the Young Black Builders Club. Because you knew
young
where
Black
I was going with
Club
this.
That we created to educate our young people. If we want to be a group of people that are looking to collectively build our communities.
Okay.
It is important that we educate our young people on the means, methods of construction and developing and coaching them as we're building.
Oh my God.
We take young people to job sites and train young people on the process of developing so that they can grow up knowing how to build their community.
You're just reading my brain, because see, I believe that position that not everybody was built to go to quote unquote college, but beyond that, that's a whole discussion. But beyond that, there to me is merit in manual talent, how to use your hands. You don't have to do an algebra equation to me, but if you have an ability with your hands. And sounds like that's kind of where you're going with that.
Yes. Look, it is a plan of action.
Yeah.
It is a God-given, he gave me this
right.
to give to you.
Right.
And all of the viewers to give.
Okay, now I want you to two things as we get ready to wind up. How can the audience reach you, and then tell us any points that we have not mentioned that you just really want to put out to the audience? How can they reach you, either a website or a social media or email or phone number or whatever? Tell us how to reach you, and then double back and mention anything we haven't talked about so far.
Okay.
And let me just say that in the chat, as you tell us, we will put that in the chat. I can't see it on my screen today for some reason. I'll have to find out about that. But it should be in everybody's screen in the chat as you give us those contact points. And I think we had some of them, but go ahead.
One, you can definitely find us on Facebook.
Okay.
And that you just go and do a search for Simply Cut.
Okay. Easy enough.
And look for that logo.
Okay. Very good. Okay.
And then our website is www.simplycustomdevelopers.com.
They can see it. Very good. www.simplycustomdevelopers with an S.com. Great. And that's a phone number right there too. 214 256 214-888-887, and I think we're going to put that in the chat.
Correct.
Very good. I'll repeat it. 214.
And Facebook Simply Custom.
Okay, 214-256-6887. Now, tell us any points you want to mention that we did not cover, or anything you want to double back and stress again.
I would like to just real quickly just introduce you to the team that's with
me. Oh, please do. Please do. Please do.
Because I have my COO, which is my sister, and then I have my daughter, Kennedy Brown,
okay,
here too.
Yeah.
That is an executive assistant,
okay,
and marketing director. So she.
Can we see their lovely faces? Come on in.
Come right here. Let me introduce you.
Okay, okay.
All right.
Howdy, howdy, howdy. Okay, okay.
Hello. We
agreed
to meet yesterday.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
And I love that you were all over what we do. I can tell you've been around the block.
A few times.
Yes, ma'am.
And who's the other lovely young lady? Who's the other lovely?
Hi, I'm Teddy Brown.
Good to meet you both. Good to meet you. Okay, lovely, lovely, lovely. Any community points you want to make in our last? I think we've got about 3 minutes left. As a three person team.
The only thing I would add is that one thing that Kevin didn't highlight is that we leverage 20 plus years of relationships that we have garnered over the 20 years that he's been in business.
Right, right.
And we leverage those relationships to ensure that our clients are able to make it from financing all the way through fruition of the home being built.
Okay.
There are a lot of different facets that happen in between. And so we leverage our partnerships that we've had with lenders, also with me coming from a lending background,
okay,
making sure that we have enough lenders available and lenders who specifically lend within our communities and to people who look like us. And so that can sometimes be a challenge as well, because we don't necessarily fit the mold at
right.
times for those types of solutions. And
right.
So, we also leverage partnerships with Title all the way throughout the entire process.
I want to say this about your team, Kevin Brown with Simply Custom. It seems that everybody brought something to the table. You know what I mean? It seems like, and again, divine intervention, everybody brought something to the table that could be used and apparently has worked in y'all's favor. And oh my gosh, I count me in as being impressed. Well, we're gonna say our goodbyes and audience. You have got to really get involved with this GAP program and look them up on Facebook, and let's just make this moving the community forward. Let's do this together. Let's do this together.
Yes.
All right, then. Well, we will see you, and I'll see you on the success screen. So have a good day, and thank you for visiting with us, okay? Bye now. All right. Okay, very, very good. Very, very good. Y'all, so you've got to go to Facebook and look up Simply Custom, and or go on the website, www.simplycustomdevelopers.com, and then their phone number, 214-256-6887. So that was Kevin Brown, and we're so grateful for what he's doing in the community and giving homeowners a chance to be involved in building their own home and get instant equity Who does that? Who does that? So we're just grateful. So we now have a second guest that we're going to bring in. And he's going, I already see him here, so let me welcome him in. Hello there. Can you hear me?
How are you all doing today?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. Now, audience, let me tell you, this is, and you're going to have to help me. We've talked before, but you're going to have to help me again. D.
Yes,
Wambui?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, D, the initial D, Wambui Richardson, and he is a director at Jubilee Theater in Fort Worth. Now, we've had a Jubilee on previously, and they're going to, from time to time, keep us informed about the plays that they're offering. And, oh, my gosh, what a really wonderful evening it is to visit a play at Jubilee Theater in downtown Fort Worth. Downtown Fort Worth. And let me just quickly give you the address, and we'll talk even more about it. But it's 506 Main Street in downtown Fort Worth. So welcome, Mr. Richardson, Wambui Richardson. Tell us what play is about to open and what is it about. What's the name of it and what is it about?
It is Miss Celeste B. Walker's musical comedy called Over 40.
Over 40. What is that about?
Yes, ma'am. It is the story of four women who've all turned the age of 40 and them deciding that they're going to go off into the woods for a retreat, so to speak.
Okay.
And in the process of that retreat, it is about redefining and reclaiming what 40 means for them.
Okay, wait a minute. Hold on. Let me put a pin in that. Wow. Okay. Four women, all over 40, and that's the name of the play, Over 40. So they go on a retreat off into the woods, I heard you say. And they start just sort of assessing, I guess, what it means to be over 40. Am I correct?
Correct. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, my gosh. Go ahead.
So often, this is a story about how we as people, you know, regardless of race, color, class, creed, we create these benchmarks for ourselves saying, you know, by the time I'm 30, I should have achieved this.
Right.
By the time I'm 40, I should have done X, Y, and Z.
Right.
And these women deciding to go into the woods to have this conversation, but also reaching that point in themselves and their lives to say, you know, it's okay to be where I am right now.
Okay. Okay.
Because if I wasn't for where I was right now, how can I decide where I'm going to go next?
Okay.
And so it's a great, you know, fun little, you know, two-hour musical where everybody can just hold each other accountable while at the same time creating a fun atmosphere of laughter and thinking about the next journey of one's life.
You know what that makes me think of, and I think the name of that book was something like I'm Okay, You're Okay, something like that. But it sounds like, you know, there's value in bouncing your thoughts and emotions off someone else. I see value in that. So it sounds like these women are assessing where they are. Maybe tell us a little bit about each character and maybe what their scenario is.
Gotcha. So it's these four women, all diverse, and somehow they're all tied together with this central character, Miss Anna Ruth. She is the eldest of the 40-year-olds.
Okay.
And it's her cabin, and she's bringing everybody together. Miss Anna Ruth, she is the mother of seven.
Oh.
Faithfully married. Uh-huh. And she spent her entire life, you know, in loving and support of her husband and her family. And her
right.
And yet she's, you know, at a place where she starts to wonder, well, what happens when the kids all go home?
Oh.
What happens when they all leave? Who do I become next?
Oh.
Then we have another young lady. She's the powerhouse of the show.
Uh-huh.
She's a judge. She's lived on the outside of her life, looks perfect, but she's 40-plus years old, and she still lives at home with her mother. And so even being a judge and being this high-powered person, not being able to move past leaving home.
Wow.
We You have another young lady, Miss Patricia. She is another a dynamo in the office. She's a CEO. She's, you know, happily married, but she has sacrificed so much in pursuit of her career that she's now starting to wonder to herself, will she ever become a mother?
No, so she has no children.
No children, but she's at a place where she now wants some. Yes, ma'am. And then we have our last character of the show, Miss Gwen, who she has just turned 40, and she's starting to, you know, ask herself, you know, where has her life gone?
Wow.
So all of the things she wanted to do by the time she was 40, and unfortunately, not all of those things have been achieved, and she's still clinging on to, you know, I know I'm 40, but I still look 30.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
How do you cling on to your 30s?
Okay.
How do you cling on to your 30s, but at the same time move forward?
Okay,
so
now
each of them are at a different place.
Different place. I want to know, okay, now you said the playwright is Celeste B. Walker. Is that right?
Yes,
okay, now has this playwright given much understanding of what, is that a woman or a man? Is that a woman?
Yes. Ms. Celeste B. Walker, she's actually a Texas native. A lot of her work gets done right in Houston, Texas.
Okay.
Her work has been all over the place.
Okay.
This particular production was actually written in 1989.
Really?
Wow. It premiered in Los Angeles, California. And after having a chance to read it and having a really great conversation with her, you know, it was time to bring this one back. Because so much of what's happening in this story
right.
is what's happening in our lives every day. Especially
oh.
after these last 2 years where people, you know, have been questioning where they are in their lives, in their job, in their future, and everybody's, you know, choosing new paths to follow. You know, and that's very much what's happening with these women, deciding if they're going to stay on the path they're on or choose a new direction.
Now, you know, also to me, this is a key, perfect time. This is Women's History Month.
Exactly.
This is Women's History Month, so this is a perfect time and theme to bring this, as you said, to revive it, resurrect it. That's
Come on,
great.
Yeah.
That's great. Now, this you said this is a musical. What? Tell us about the music. Are these familiar tunes, or are they new tunes, or are they from a particular genre? Tell us about the music.
So the show takes place in the late 1980s.
Okay.
So you're going to get a lot of 80s feel.
Okay, okay, okay.
It's all original music to this particular production.
Okay.
So, I would say maybe one or two of the, like, new gospel songs or songs that we all would know. But for the bulk of the show, it's all original music that is unique to this production with a nice taste of what the 80s music felt like.
Okay, okay. Here's something I want to know. Let me ask this. What do you and the playwright, how do you hope that this will motivate or inspire women? What's the main message that you're hoping women will take away from this experience of this play called Over 40.
I would say the best takeaway of this show is that you made it this far, that you haven't been brought this far to be left on your own, and that so much more ahead of you. But in order to acknowledge where you're going to go next, you have to first acknowledge where you have been.
Oh, my gosh. There is such value in that. And I wanted to go to well, let's just say again, let's kind of go over again. The first lady, she's the mom of seven, and she's wondering what's going to happen when they leave home. Then the lady is a powerhouse judge, but she's still home with her mom, and she's trying to figure out how to cut that tie. The third lady, she has sacrificed a lot in her marriage, no children, and she's trying to figure out, now, where do I go from here? And then the final fourth lady, she's just turning 40, and she's looking at where do I go from here. So all four of those scenarios are key, and they're distinct, and there are questions and emotional career questions, life questions, all of future questions in all of those. It's got to be intriguing to see how these four women are going to deal with those existences.
Exactly. And they're having a great time doing it. It is fun. It is comical in so many ways. And I think the audience will really, really thoroughly enjoy the music as well as who these four characters are. Yes, it's a comedy, but it's also a show about accountability. And it's a show about asking probing questions and not giving leeway to make excuses. You know, it's called a lock-in. You know, the central character, she says, you know, we came up all the way to these woods. What's the point of coming all the way out here and not leaving better than when we came in?
Oh,
so
wow.
It's a lock-in in the woods, and together we're going to hold each other accountable.
Wow.
We're going to push each other to uncomfortable places, and we're going to love each other even more afterwards.
Oh, my gosh. That's got to be both entertaining and soul-searching. It seems to me it covers that whole gamut. Now, let me remind everybody, audience, we are talking with D. Wambui Richardson. He is a director at Jubilee Theater in downtown Fort Worth. Wonderful experience at Jubilee, and the address is 506 Main Street in downtown Fort Worth. Okay, now tell us the dates of this play. I don't think I have that anywhere here. What are the dates?
That is going to be March 25th, Friday, March 25th.
Okay.
Through May 1st.
Okay, okay. March 25th through May 1st. And I think we're going to put that somewhere in the chat. And I've got a lot more to ask you, but I want to, while we're at this point, let me go ahead and ask you, how do people get tickets and how do they access information about Jubilee Theater, like social media, website, emails, phone number, what have you? And then I've got some more questions. But since we're at that point, let's go ahead and talk about that.
So the best way to go about getting tickets to over 40 is to go to our website at jubileetheater.org.
Okay.
Click on the icon for over 40.
Okay.
And it can take you to our ticketing platform.
Great.
You can also call our box office, which is 817-338-4411.
Okay.
And you'll speak to the lovely Ms. Vita, who will be able to walk you through the process of getting your ticket and getting you into our platform for future productions as well.
Very good.
You can also visit us on our Facebook page.
Okay.
You can go to Facebook and put in Jubilee Theater, and you can see, you know, what's going on at the theater, what shows are coming up, who are the actors in the show, and it just keeps you abreast of what's going on over at the theater.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. I love that you said you're on Facebook. To me, that you get everything you can
right,
right accessible. Now, I want to back up a bit. Now, we're talking about and I want to say also all of that information will be in the chat. I see it here. I wasn't seeing it at first, but you see it in the chat. Everything that D. Wambui Richardson told us, you can find it in the chat. Facebook, website, the box office phone number, it'll all be in the chat. Okay, but now let me back up. Now, we're talking about women. We're talking about them getting to a certain point in their life, a benchmark. I think what you said earlier, you call it a benchmark in their life. Can men get anything out of this play? How does this play, does it say anything to men? What's a takeaway that men can take from this play? Because many of them are going to be coming with wifey and girlfriends. So what's the takeaway for a male?
And I think that's the unique thing about this show. Even though it's called Over 40 and it's about these four women, it's really about turning 40, and I think that's something both men and women identify with.
Right.
Both men and women, we reach a place in our life by the time we turn 40 where we get to a place of discernment and trying to figure out, you know, where is our next step? What's healthy for us? What's valuable for us?
Okay.
And where do we want to make our next turn?
Okay.
And so just as these four women are grappling with those issues, you know, these are issues that men are grappling with all the time.
Okay.
You know, I having now entered into the fourth decade of my life.
Okay.
A lot of these questions, resonate with me.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
So I think this is something that will resonate with men as well. Those who have children, those who don't have children, those who, spent their whole lives working to provide, and, they've been so busy providing for the house that they didn't get a chance to see their children grow up. Now their children have grown up and moved out of the house, and, they're missing a connection with potential grandchildren.
Uh-huh.
They never got a chance to know who their children were. So I think it's about turning that age of 40 and trying to figure out for yourself, What's my next step?
Just deep diving questions. Now, I always want to know a little bit about your personal life. So, what made you decide to enter theater? And then I'm going to ask you something about that decision. How did you? You are a director, and what's your specific title with Jubilee Theater?
I'm the artistic director.
You're artistic director at Jubilee Theater. How did you get there? How far back can you think when you remember the light bulb coming on? I think I want to go into performing.
Yes, ma'am. This has been a life journey and a life passion. It has always been who I was.
Okay.
I've been doing this for more than 25 years.
Okay.
I would say this has gone back as early as the age of 10.
What?
Yes. My mother sat me down. We went to go see, it was a PBS special, and we saw the musical Into the Woods.
Okay.
And it was the story of, these traditional stories that we all know.
Yeah.
Being told with a twist. And me seeing the effect that the show had on my mother made me want to do that as well.
But wait a minute. What kind of effect did it have on her?
I would say it kind of transfixed her for a little bit. It was a rough day.
Okay.
There was a lot of things going on that day.
Right.
And to watch her kind of just sit and melt and not think about the drama of the world and everything that was going on around it kind of said, it sent to me a message of what theater has the ability to do.
Oh, wow.
It lets you escape. It lets you hide. It allows you to connect in a different way. And in that particular musical, there's this beautiful song where the witch, the mother, is singing about, how hard it is to be a parent and wanting to let go, but at the same time wanting to hold on even tighter.
Oh,
and I remember looking up at her and realizing that's how she thinks about us. I have two younger siblings, two big sisters.
Okay.
Even though she passed away when I was very young in life, I would say maybe a year after that experience, she passed away.
Yeah.
But it never left me about what she felt as a parent, because it was in that moment I understood, every time she's fussing, every time she's fighting, for me, with me, or against me, it is because at the end of the day, she knows that the world outside is an ugly place.
Mm.
And she wanted to make sure that she could protect me at any and every all cost. Only to realize, the best tool that she could do was give me the tools to be able to fight for myself in the world. And so that left an indelible mark on me about that moment with her sitting on the couch watching that show.
That has such a powerful message in that. That's powerful. That's powerful. And I have a strong spiritual background, but as you were talking and describing you watching your mom and how a performance impacted her and relaxed her and took some weight off of her, it made me think of that biblical story about the woman at the well. There she is at the well, and the Christ child comes and starts describing to her, talking about the water. And the line that sticks out to me, he talks about a bigger, better water than the one she's got. And she says, I want some of that water. I want some of that water. So it sounds like you, the young man, 9 or 10 years old, watching the impact of this performance on your mom, to me, it made your brain go ding, ding, ding. I want some of that. I want to be a part of that. And then you, it seems like it sets your course.
Yeah. But I wavered a little bit.
Right.
About how much artists don't, live so extravagant lives.
Right.
And I'm the eldest in my family.
Yeah.
That I would always have to, think about, and I was always raised with the mindset of, you take care of your siblings as you get older in
right.
the world, and how do you provide for yourself as an artist? So, in the college, I went into pre-law. And, that lasted all about a good 31 days. because at the end of the day, one of the things I was always taught is you can be the richest person in the world, but if you are miserable, then those dollars mean nothing.
Oh, my gosh.
Being an artist is what, I can honestly say has kept me alive for the last 4 decades of my life.
Oh, my God. Powerful. Now, here's what I want to know, and we've got about we've got a little time left. We've got about 10 minutes left, I think. Okay, concerning the various performances that you've directed and had leadership roles over, can you tell when the audience is really connecting with the production, or can you tell when it's not quite being received the way you had wished? Do you have any of those experiences where, yes, we did that thing, or, yeah, we need to tweak this? What's that like?
I would say at Jubilee Theater, you get that experience every show.
Okay.
Audience is, and I think that's the thing that actors love the most about performing at Jubilee Theater, is we have the most gracious and giving audience on this side of the Mason-Dixon line.
Okay.
They come to feed our actors.
Okay.
And so every show, I'll go back and I check in with the actors, and they'll be like, oh, yeah, they were on it today.
Yeah.
They were right there with us.
Right.
More than we want. But the actors, that is something that they definitely comment on about, when they know where an audience is.
Right.
You find that, there's a big difference between a matinee audience and a night performance audience.
Oh, see, I wouldn't have thought of that. Why do you think that is? Why is that?
I'm trying to figure that one out myself a little bit. I think a part of it is just, if you're coming during the daytime, it is a great opportunity to kind of just not worry about the rest
of the day.
You're going to make a day of this. You're going to come out. You're going to see a show at Jupiter Theater. You're going to go out into Sundance Square. Grab yourself.
Let me jump in right there, because you're leading me to one of the things I wanted to ask. And one of the things that sticks out to me about Jubilee Theater and its location is the surrounding social environment that you have. Tell us, and I always think of couples and individuals going to Jubilee Theater for a night out. But tell us what all else is accessible when you have a night at Jubilee Theater in downtown Fort Worth at... What's the address here? 506 Main Street. What else is accessible around there after the play? Either before or after the play, you can do what else?
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. Sundance Square is definitely a destination location. It gives you the opportunity to get out from your home and come on into Sundance Square, where there's a plethora of restaurants, a movie theater, another theater right around the corner from us called Circle Theater. The convention center is a few blocks down from us, and several hotels are surrounding us. So even if you wanted just to have a weekend getaway, you could get a hotel room, come on down to Sundance Square, and really never have a reason to leave Sundance Square.
Wow.
You would need it right there. The entertainment that you would need is right there. Even if you just wanted to go on a 10 o'clock stroll at night and walk into the square and listen to great live music right there in the heart of that square, it's a great opportunity to just get away from it. They have a little mini vacation, so to speak.
Okay.
Right there.
Okay.
Just minutes away from your home.
Now, I saw somewhere, either online or some promotion or something, y'all have some kind of a, you tell people about that they can get to you through DART. What's that? Do many people come like from Dallas to Fort Worth on DART?
Yes, sir. You can literally get on in Dallas, take the DART all the way down, get it's one of your last stops, you get right off on the station.
Okay.
And you're literally about a 5-minute walk to Jubilee Theater.
Oh, my.
Right in downtown Fort Worth, and everything you need is right there.
Oh, that's just too good. Now, that is too, because not everybody has transportation or a car to drive, because we're Dallas, obviously, so we want to get you to Fort Worth. So what I hear you saying is you can jump on a DART bus and be driven to Fort Worth, and the stop is, like you said, about a 5-minute walk or whatever to the theater, and then get back and come back home. Am I right?
Exactly. That's what you do a 3 o'clock matinee, catch that train, come on and get here around 1 o'clock, you know, 1 or 2 o'clock, walk around, grab a meal, watch the 3 o'clock show, walk around, have another meal, get you a snack. You know, catch that 7 or 8 o'clock train, and you're back in Dallas.
Wonderful. Now, as we're wrapping up, and I want you to tell us about some maybe some upcoming shows that you want us to be to stay tuned for, and then tell us any points that we did not cover that you want to make as we get ready to leave. So, what's coming up? Of course, now the opening and the dates again for Over 40, that's opening, is that Friday? The 25th is Friday? Where is
yes,
my time? Okay.
Friday, March 25th.
Okay.
Closing May 1st.
Okay. Okay. So
we'll only be performing Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Oh, okay. Key information. Friday, Saturday, Sunday is when you perform. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, March 25th through May 1st. Okay, now, any points you want to make that we did not cover?
Two upcoming things. Before we go into that, even though we know that we are slowly getting into the endemic stage,
right,
of COVID,
right.
We are still mask required,
okay,
during the production.
Okay.
We are going to be able to eat in our theater chambers, so you can buy concessions before and during intermission.
Okay.
When you first come in, you can purchase, as well as during intermission, you can do so. We're back in full effect. So
we are back.
The office is open. Audiences are welcome to come, sit down, and enjoy. We ask that if someone is not eating, that for the protection of the rest of the audience, as well as our actors, you know, until we get just a little bit better. We know that there's a new strain out in Houston.
Right.
We're trying to keep that strain
right
from coming over here to the DFW area. We're asking that our patrons, you know, just hang in there a little bit longer with us and remain fully masked if they're not eating or consuming something. We're hoping that, you know, we're getting a little more lax as we move along the way. We're still maintaining our steady regimen of cleaning and testing for our actors, as well as sanitizing our entire building, because we want people to know when they come to Jubilee Theater that you don't have to think about those things. You can just sit, enjoy, and forget about what's going on in the rest of the world and just have a great time with these four women.
I'm so glad you mentioned that about the concessions, though, because to me, part of, like, with going to movie going is the popcorn. So with theater, you've got, you know, things that you can munch on.
Part of the experience.
Yes, yeah. Right. One last point. You just finished Lil and Satchmo,
yes,
the play. How did that go?
That went really well. Audiences grew as more comfortability came. We got to a place where we were having 100-plus people.
Okay. Oh, wow. That's good. That's good.
Yes,
your seating is a roughly what, about 150?
146 seats.
Okay. Right in the neighborhood of 150. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am.
Right.
Yes, ma'am.
Great. Well, listen, audience, we have been talking with Dee Wambui Richardson, and Wambui is Wambui. Wambui. We didn't have a chance to talk about that name, but next time we have you on, we'll do that. And he has been telling us about the next upcoming production at Jubilee Theater in downtown Fort Worth, Sundance Square, with all kind of entertainment surrounding. And so get your tickets information on Facebook and social media, website, www.jubilee, and let me tell you, theater is T-H-E-A-T-R-E. T-H-E-A-T-R-E. So JubileeTheater.org. And get ready to have a very entertaining evening. We want to thank you, Dee Wambui Richardson, for telling us about Over 40. And come on out, audience, and have a great evening out. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Enjoy.
Okay, bye-bye. All righty, everybody. So that was the artistic director at Jubilee Theater in Fort Worth. Now, while we're waiting for our next guest, I wanted to just tell you about a few things going on around Dallas as we wait our next final guest. It's almost time for Together We Dine. Now, the whole concept with this Together We Down is that Together We Dine is in partnership with a group called Dialogue Institute Dallas. Now, people get together and they talk about race relations. They talk about race relations. And this upcoming event is Tuesday, March 29. That's next week, Tuesday, March 29. Now, it's a dining event, and it's described as facilitating courageous and safe conversations about race relations at the dinner table among total strangers. Now, you know, family reunions and holiday events with family, we gather around the table and we talk about things. You know, sometimes families have issues that they have the opportunity to resolve at the dinner table. Sometimes it's just a big reminiscing session and you go back over early times. But in this setting, you get to have what's described as courageous and safe conversations about race relations. Now, look, that's really something we need to talk about today. How are we people from different ethnic groups, different cultural backgrounds, how are we getting along? So you have a dinner and you talk about it. Now, this event is free. Space is limited and you register online. Now registration is this week. I think you have to register by this week. And it's an in-person dining opportunity. Now, I think last year, I believe, it was set up some kind of way where they did it digitally on social media. And then you some kind of way it was arranged for you to have your own individual meal, and you talked online about these topics. And the quote that they use is, "What unites us is greater than what divides us." So again, and it's from 6 to 8 p.m. Now this year, it will be in Richardson. Here's the address. It's an in-person event. You have to register for it online at Together We Dine, but the address is 1416 East Collins Boulevard in Richardson. Again, it's 1416 East Collins Boulevard in Richardson from 6 to 8 p.m. And that address is at the Dialogue Institute Dallas. That's where that address is. And it's all ethnic groups, all age groups, and just, you know, a diverse group of folks. Now Together We Dine started in 2017, and the Dallas Bar Association also is involved. And so The environment is still has certain health protocols involved, and so you know, you follow the standard health routine. And it's an introduction to a fellowship and leadership among different cultures, and all kinds of topics. And you really bring up whatever topic you want to bring up that relates to race relations. And so together we dine. Get ready for that, and it'll be a good experience. It'll be a good experience. And so let's see what else is going on. Now, Zan Wesley Holmes Jr. Community Outreach Center. They're doing so much with that center. It's offering emergency preparedness training. And that's going to be tomorrow. That will be tomorrow from 11 a.m. to 12:30. And it's going to be offered on Zoom. It will be offered on Zoom. And you know, really now, emergency preparedness, we all need to know about that. I know I wish I knew how to do, what is it, CPR and all of that, and then how to prepare for emergencies, those people who just came through those very destructive, terrifying tornadoes. It would have been good for them to have had training in emergency preparedness. And I saw a news report with one young lady who survived, and with her family, and she said, she was a young lady, looked like she might have been 19 or 20 or something, but she said, I never would have thought that I would be involved in something like this very massive destructive tornado. And so the training will help you plan how to keep yourself and your family safe. And at this center, you can create a basic emergency response plan for your family at your household, and also to help your neighbors. And so two individuals will speak. One is Audrey Brown, and the other is Erica Lloyd. And they've got background in this, and they can give all kind of information at this Zoom. And so you want to do that. Again, it's tomorrow from 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. And you can access information about it on Facebook and the website for the Zan Wesley Holmes Jr. Community Outreach Center. And they do all kind of community services, job training, and like this, emergency preparedness training, just a variety of services that they offer. So you want to be ready for that. Now at that same facility, getting ready for next month, the same Zan Wesley Holmes Jr. Community Outreach Center, another free training session. This one will be for small businesses to help them grow their businesses. Now, listen to this. This is a good incentive for you to get involved. The top participants who complete the program will be awarded $1,000. The top participant who completes the program will be awarded $1,000. Now, these are individuals who are trying to do a startup business and a small business, so, you know, they can use $1,000. But other participants also will have the opportunity to receive $750 for business legal advice, and also have the opportunity to receive $300 for entity incorporation if they need it. So, and they'll have the opportunity to meet potential investors for their businesses. So this initiative is funded in part by the Muse Family Foundation, which has provided funding for the technical assistance program. Now, again, free training, and you can learn things like best practices in business planning. You can learn about accounting. You can learn about cash flow management. You can learn about business taxes and learn about marketing or social media. And the course is over a 12-week period, and that's like one three-hour session per week. And you can also get a mentorship in this program. So the application period goes through April Fool's Day. It goes through the 1st of April, and orientation is April 25th. And then the sessions will begin via Zoom on April 27th. Now, let me give you the website for the center, and you can get all kinds of additional information about it, and then I'll also give you an email. So the website is www, and these are all initials for Zan Wesley Holmes Jr. Community Outreach Center. So the initials, all of these are letters. www.zwhjcoc.org. That's the website, and then you can send the email inquiries about this business startup training and small business training at send the email to info@, and here are those initials again, info@zwhjcoc.org. So those are just very, very worthwhile things that we're looking for. Now let's see. I'm not seeing our guests. Let me see if they might have had technical problems. So let me see if I got any kind of message. And let's see. Looks like this is a message here. Let me read it and see if we're going to have a guest. If not, we'll continue to talk about. Continue to talk about some community things going on. So let's see. Okay, it looks like our guests won't be able to make it today. They won't be able to make it today, and so we'll just kind of tell you what they wanted to talk about, but they're not going to be able to make it. But I'll tell you what they were going to tell us about. Okay, we were going to talk to members of the Southwest Dallas County Alumni Chapter of Delta Sigma Theta. That's who we were going to talk about. And they have a Founders Day event coming up for the Southwest Dallas County Alumni Chapter of Delta Sigma Theta. And we may try to see if we can do a follow-up about their event later, but let me tell you what it was. Okay, they were hosting what's called the Bridging Back Better, a deeper love for Delta. Now listen, y'all, Delta women, they are a faithful group. I mean, they love their sorority. So I just have to, it puts a smile on my face. How dedicated. Not to say that all sororities are not, but I mean, those, you have to kind of come on with it to keep up with those deltas. So, but it's called Bridging Back Better. It's a kind of a play on President Joe Biden's campaign. But this theme is Bridging Back Better, A Deeper Love for Delta. Now, this is a virtual Founders Day celebration event, and it will commemorate 109 trailblazing years of Delta Sigma Theta. And it will recognize various milestones and accomplishments. Now, traditionally, and this year as well, the Deltas will, Southwest Dallas County chapter, Southwest Dallas County Alumni Chapter, will honor women who have given 50 years of service and 25 years of service. And, I mean, they do, oh, my gosh, all kinds of public service activity. And it's viewed as a public service sorority. Now, they focus on five program thrusts geared toward making our community better. And here's some of the involvements. They do a lot concerning economic development, which we need as a community. They do a lot toward educational development, and they do a interesting international awareness projects and allow members and the community to get involved in international services. So I imagine, I haven't talked with them, but I imagine they're doing some things with that. Well, I'll just go ahead and say my first thought is to say that crazy Ukraine-Russia conflict that's so disheartening. So they probably are doing some things on that front. They do a lot of physical and mental health services. And they do political awareness and involvement where you can get involved on the community level with political awareness and move on up a little higher. If you want to eventually become a candidate in certain positions, you can start with them and they will prick your interest of political awareness and involvement, and then you can move your way on up. Now, again, this is a virtual event and it's free. Anybody can attend. Now, here's when it is. Okay, the Bridging Back Better, Deeper Love for Delta Founders Day celebration is this Sunday, March 27th, and it's from 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m., from 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m., and there is a, you can go online and find Southwest Dallas County Alumni Chapter of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority, and there is a link for you to join the Zoom. And so that's what. They're going to have a speaker. And the speaker is Kristen Wales Lewis. Now she's an entrepreneur, and she's a public speaker, and she's very astute academically and professionally in several areas, health being one of them, leadership, civic engagement, and working with STEM programs with young people, and she says that she is inspired by the mantra of when passion and purpose collide. Now, she exhibits a lot of this in her involvements in science and healing and creativity. She used to work for a big pharmacy company, and then guess what? She decided to strike out on her own and use what she knew to help build her own build up her own community. And she deals with wellness, and she advocates for social justice and health equity in local communities. And she, a few years ago, she founded a nonprofit organization. This is, we're talking about Kristen Wells Lewis, who's going to be a speaker at the Delta's Founders Day event this Sunday, March 27th from 1 to 2:30. So she founded this nonprofit organization, and it's called Unapologetic Incorporated. And through this, she did a lot of reaching out about wellness products, and some of these products involved tea. Now, there's I love tea, but it's all kind of tea is viewed as a healthy blended drink. And then she deals with plant-based beauty products. All of these available to the community. And so she really talks about empowering women through her own life and her own accomplishments, leaving a major corporation and striking out on her own to address health disparities. Now, she's a native of Beaumont. We're talking about the speaker who's going to be at the Southwest Dallas County alumni chapter of Delta Sigma Theta at their Founders Day event, which is going to be March 27 from 1 to 2:30 p.m. She's a native of Beaumont, and she received her Bachelor of Science degree in chemistry and biomedical concentration. She's a graduate of Prairie View, everybody, Prairie View. And then she got her master's in community development, also at Prairie View. And she studied on the intersection between health and community, the intersection between health and community, and food security. She talks a lot about that. She's very knowledgeable about food security. And her academic career has culminated in a variety of learning experiences that have directly led her to deal with healing. Healing, and we know we all need healing. And so she's going to be an interesting speaker. So I wanted to tell you about that. Now, let's see, what else is going on in the community? I'm intrigued by them. Let me see if I can get my earring back on. It's playing games on me. Let me see if I can put it back on. But this business kind of intrigues me. You know, logistics, that's really an interesting business. Logistics, which means transporting products from one site to the other, and it's called logistics. I had to learn what that was some years ago, but the name of the company is L, the initial L, and then Davis Logistics, the initial L, and then Davis Logistics. They're having a ribbon cutting. Let's see, March 13. When is that? They're having a ribbon cutting on March 13, which is, I'm sorry, not 13, March 30th, which is next Wednesday. Yeah, today is the 23rd, so next Wednesday is the 30th. So they're having this ribbon cutting next Wednesday, March 30th at 1 p.m., and it's on Hampton Road, 1510 North Hampton Road. And they are in Suite 210, and that's DeSoto. That's DeSoto. So they're inviting everyone to come out. Now, let me tell you a little bit about them. Okay, the L is for Lavert and his wife, Felicia. So Lavert and Felicia Davis. They are the founders of L. Davis Logistics. Now, it's a trucking company, and I tell you that it's logistics means transporting from one site to the other. So it's a trucking company, and they have a fleet of 15 trucks. And they ensure that all of your products will be delivered efficiently and safely and on time. Now, the equipment and technology that they use are, they say that they're clean, new, and up to date on all of the legal requirements and inspections that are needed to be in the transporting business, which is known as logistics. Now, they say that all equipment is less than 7 years old and undergoes regular maintenance. Now, that's got to be done, because if you're going up and down these highways, hello, you got to be well maintained and up to date. And so, and it says one of their tenets is that they value safety, they value customer service, they value reliability. Now, they serve many companies, many warehouses, corporations, brokers, and entities across the southern United States. Now, their business, L. Davis Logistics, was founded in 2017 under the leadership of the couple. Now, Mrs. Davis, she runs the day-to-day operations. Now, she not only holds a Bachelor of Applied Arts and Sciences degree from the University of North Texas, but she has also proven her talent for starting and scaling new and existing businesses. Now, her educational background and industry experience make her an expert in combining the hands-on work of running a trucking business with the in-depth industry knowledge that is required to make it a profitable success. Now, Mr. Davis is an experienced trucker, okay? He has his CDL license and all that, this is key. He has an impeccable driving and safety record. Now, and his wife holds all of the insurance licenses that are necessary. So y'all go out and help participate in the ribbon cutting for their facility there on in DeSoto, 1510 Northampton Road, Suite 210, and that's next Wednesday at 1. So we really want to wish them well. Now, still, we want to just bring you up to date on all of these various things that are going on in the community. So let's see what else we have here. Now, I love it when we have these training courses. So here's another training course. Okay, this one is a free digital training at St. Philip's We Creation Center. So you want to get in on that. So I think it's about time for us to get out of here. And let's see here if I can see what I'm doing here. We're about to say goodbye. And so Teddy Pendergrass always tells us to wake up. So let me leave you with his words as we say goodbye. Wake up. Teddy Pendergrass and Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes, they say, wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. No more backwards thinking. But it's time to think ahead. And he reminds us that the world has changed so very much from what it used to be. And there's, you know this, so much hatred, war, oh my gosh, poverty. But he says if you wake up all the teachers and they follow him to teach a new way, that we can all go into a new world together. And that's what we want to do. So we'll say goodbye and urge you to wake up. No more sleeping in bed. It's time to think ahead. Bye-bye. Thank you.